Numbers chapter number 13. Numbers 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying in verse number 1, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. I want you to mark that. Which I give unto the children of Israel. That right there changes everything. He says, I want you to send these men to search the land, but it's already theirs. And that right there, that phrase should have changed everything about this chapter. The reality is this, as Christians, the victory is already won. And that ought to change our life. And we as Christians do not have to live a defeated life. We do not have to live a discouraged life. We don't have to live a life where it seems like it's always in defeat. We've already won. Jesus has already risen from the dead. He's already given us eternal life. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. Victory is already had. But we find in chapter number 13 that even though the Bible says that God says to Moses, which I give unto the children of Israel, that doesn't mean much to them at this time. He goes on and says, of every tribe of the fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. And so we find in these few three verses here that God says to Moses, I want you to send out these leaders. These are leaders of every tribe. And then the next several verses tells us the exact names of the men and the tribes that they're from. Now, we've got to get the first three verses or we won't understand the rest of what we're going to talk about this evening. Moses is told to supply these men so that they could go and return with a report of the land. He says, God says to Moses, I want you to take one from each tribe, a leader. These are the men that have influence. These are the ones that should come back then and the people will listen to. And they come back and I want, before they leave, I want them to know something. They're going and they're spying out the land that I've already given to them. He tells us who these men are. The Bible says, in verse number 17, and Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And he says this to his men. These are the 12 men that are going, the spies. He says, I want you to see the land. Go see what it is. And the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether they be tents or strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage. So his instruction is this, I want you to go and find out, and I want you to see this land that's already yours. You know, it's interesting, I find, he was not telling the men to go and see if this is possible. He was simply saying, go check out the land so that you can give a report. This wasn't to find if you can do this or not. It wasn't so that go find out. He mentioned some different things. He said, I want you to go and see if it be strong or weak. That's not because if it's strong, you can't go. He just simply wanted them to know, is it strong or weak? You know what God knew they were going to find? That it was strong. And when they found that it was strong, they could take comfort in knowing that God was going to give it to them. He wanted them to see if the land was few or many. He wanted them to see if the land was good or bad. He wanted them to see if it was tents or strongholds, if it was fat or lean, or if there was wood therein or not. But I want us to understand and remember as we look into this passage tonight, they were not going to find out if this was possible. They were just simply going to find out what God was going to give them. They were supposed to come back. And he says to them, be of good courage. And then something interesting, he says, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, the time was the time of the first striped grapes. So they went up and searched from the land, the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob. We find in verse number 23, if you'll skip down there, and they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. Could you imagine the size of those grapes? The biggest grapes my wife has ever brought home were about that big, and they looked good, but she was able to bring them in the house by herself, a whole bag. I long for the day where she says, you and Jacob got to go out and get these grapes. And we come in with a staff of grapes. It takes two of us to carry. Could you imagine that? And that's what these men are finding. Moses says, I want you to be of good courage, and I want you to bring back some fruit. The Bible tells us this is a special time of year. This wasn't just any ordinary time of year. There was something about the fruit that was special. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to spy out and I want you to see, is the land good, is it bad? I want you to go and see everything about it and be of good courage. And oh, while you're there, I want you to bring back the fruit. And the Bible tells us in verse number 23 that they find this fruit, these grapes, and two people have to bear it. And they brought pomegranates and of the figs. And we know the story, and I won't go into all that happened, but unfortunately, the people come back, and 10 people say, this is impossible. And it's sad that 10 people say it's not possible because God already said it's yours. In church, I want to preach tonight on the topic of faith. Because I believe this, that there are things that God desires for us as individuals, for us as families, for us for a church to have. They're already ours. They're already ours. But we've got to get our eyes on the blessings and not put our eyes on the things that don't really matter. Do you know what stopped these spies? They saw something that intimidated them. They saw something they never should have put value in, and it caused them to come back and give a report that never should have been given to the people of God. How do I know that's true? I know it's true because we find in Numbers chapter 13, verse number 2, which I give unto the children of Israel. Which I give unto the children of Israel. You know, I wonder in this story why God even bothered to send these men. As I read through this, I wonder, why did he even send them? If the land was theirs, why didn't he just send everyone up like he did in Jericho and walk around and the walls fall? Why didn't he just send the warriors? Why didn't he just say to Moses, you know what, I'm not going to introduce these men to any fear that they may have in their life so that they don't miss out on what I have. So what I want you to do is just simply send all the army up there and go against all of the enemy here and take the land. And then they won't, for 40 days, begin to evaluate like these 10 spies or 12 spies did. They looked at things for 40 days and came back and said, I don't think we can do this. I don't think that we've got the resources. I don't think that we've got the talent. I don't think that our army is strong enough. I don't think that we have enough people. And what they were really saying is this, I don't think that God is enough for us to have victory. And what they were really saying was this, I don't believe that God is enough to do what he said he was going to do. And by us not exercising faith, by us not walking by faith, by us not doing what God has called us to do and desires for us to do, what we are saying with maybe our fear or intimidation by the enemy, what we're saying is this, God, I don't know if you can do what you've already promised to do. Do you know what? I believe that God has special things for this church. Do you believe that? I believe that God is going to do a great and mighty work in the lives of his people. I think that God has something special for the families of this church. I truly believe that. I hear these teens that are singing up here, and boy, that thrills my heart to know that they're using their talents. I believe that God has something special for the children and the young people and the teens in our church. I really believe that. I believe that God has already said there's blessings he's going to give. I believe there's things that he's going to do. And the only thing that will not allow those to happen is not his shorthand or his weakness. The only thing that may not cause those to happen would be our lack of faith in trusting that he can do what he said he's going to do. So we have these men, and again, I wonder, why didn't God just say, send the army? But these men come back and they give this report and they say this: there's giants, there's strongholds, there's tall walls. And what God was wanting them to see was the fruit. Moses said, go and spot these things out, and we know you're going to find them, but I don't want you to keep your eyes on those things. Matter of fact, be of good courage. When you see something that you think that can destroy you, be of good courage. God's already given it to us. When you see something that you think you don't have enough strength to overcome, be of good courage and know that God has already given it to us. When you think there's something there that can defeat you, be of good courage, because God has already given it to us. And by the way, when you're there, look at the fruit. It just so happened the grapes were in season. It just so happened that the grapes were going to be the largest at the time that year than they would have been any other time of year. God desires his people, I believe, to walk by faith, to see the impossible, to trust that God can do what he says he's going to do. And tonight, church, I want to say this, that God always desires to see his people walk by faith. He always desires to see his people walk by faith. There never should be a time that we're walking in our own strength. There should never be a time that we're living in our own strength. There never should be a time that we are in a marriage in our own strength, in a relationship in our own strength. There should never be a time that we are doing church in our own strength. God is pleased when we walk by faith. Moses commands these men in verse number 20, be of good courage. And look with me there and mark this in your Bible. Be of good courage. Look in verse number 20. And be ye of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Mark that. Because I believe it goes right along with this, which I give unto the children of Israel in verse number 2. Be of good courage and bring back the fruit which I'm going to give you. Be of good courage. Don't allow the giants and the walls and the strength to discourage you. Be of good courage and bring back what I'm going to give you. In verse number 18, 19, and 20, we see strong or weak, few or many. And I believe as Moses is saying to the men here, the same thing applies to our lives right here. Whatever we see, be of good courage. There's much about this fruit. I want us to look a little bit here this evening at this fruit, and we'll move right through here this portion of Scripture as we study it. In verse number 20, he says, now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Why is that even there? When you're reading through, they're talking about being of good courage and check out the land and go spy the land and be there for 40 days and come back and give a report. And almost right there, almost seemingly for no reason, it says, and this is the time of the first ripe grapes. What do grapes have to do with anything? What does grapes have to do with anything, but who cares? It's grapes are in season. I mean, these men are going to see if they can destroy this land. These men are going to see if they're spying out this land. These men are going to put a military operation together. Who cares? There's grapes. And almost right there, for no reason, it says it's the time of first ripe grapes. Grapes are in season, and bring them back. I don't think it's because Moses was hungry. I don't think it's because Moses was desiring grapes for some reason. I think it was there for a reason, and it was there for a purpose. Isn't it amazing that God knew exactly when to send these men? He knew what they were going to see. But he also knew that he was going to show them he can supply. In verse number 20, we find the grapes mentioned. In verse number 23, we find the grapes mentioned. In verse number 24, this place was of the grapes. It was mentioned once again because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. They named the place because of the grapes. I mean, here they are. They're on this operation to spy out the land, and they come to these grapes, and they name the place after. There was something special about these grapes. We find this in verse number 26 as well. If you look with me, it says, and they went and came to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. There was something special about this fruit. There was something special about these grapes. We find it mentioned over and over. Moses mentions them. And then we find two men having to carry them on a staff. They were so large. And they name a place after grapes. And they get back into the congregation. You know what they talk about? The fruit. There was something special here. This caused me to think of my favorite verse, my life verse, Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there is a season and a time, every purpose unto heaven. There was a reason that these men went there. It wasn't by mistake. The fruits being large, the grapes being large, the grapes being in season, it was not a mistake. They were there for a specific purpose and reason. And I believe this evening there was a reason for those grapes. You see, the grapes were there to show the people of God's supply. Stay with me, please. Those grapes were there to show the people that God can supply. Those grapes were there. They were there so that the people would see what God can do. Now, these men have been wandering in the wilderness for some period of time. They've come out of Egypt and they've been in the wilderness and they've probably haven't seen these blessings there in the wilderness. They've probably seen a lot of sand. They've seen a lot of manna. They've seen a lot of sand and seen a lot of manna. But they weren't seeing this kind of stuff. And God sent these spies in at the exact time to show them how He can supply. He sent them right exactly when the grapes were going to be at their largest. He sent them in exactly when it was time for first ripe grapes. He sent them in when they were going to be so impressed that two men had to carry them. He sent them in when they would name a place after where these grapes were. And He sent them in when they would come back and talk all about these grapes to the people of Israel. God was sending in the spies at a great time of harvest. He was sending in these spies at a great time of blessing. He sent them in. And it was for them to see and be absolutely clear that God's provisions were going to be enough. When they saw the giants, they were supposed to think of the grapes. When they saw the high walls, they were supposed to think of the grapes. When they saw what they thought was going to be sure defeat, they were supposed to see the grapes. For what reason were they supposed to see the grapes? Because they were supposed to see God's provisions, not the obstacles. Now was the time of the first ripe grapes. You know what God did? He sent these men in when the land was at its best. And the land was at its best because of the hand of God. That's why these grapes were the way they were. You see, it didn't need courage. They didn't need courage when they saw the grapes. They needed courage when they saw the obstacles. They didn't need courage when they saw God's provisions. They needed courage when they saw the giants. They didn't need courage when they saw what was happening. They named that place after the grapes. They didn't need courage then. They needed courage when they saw that they were just but grasshoppers, when they saw that the land was strong, when they saw that the people were many. That's when they needed courage. This test was coming. It wasn't necessary to have faith when they saw the grapes, but it was going to be necessary to have faith when they saw the giants. Allow me to give you a few thoughts here this evening. Number one is this. Faith will be necessary when obstacles are seen. Faith is necessary when obstacles are seen. Faith is necessary when these obstacles are seen. You see, the grapes were meant to encourage their faith, but the spies couldn't see that. The spies simply saw the grapes and knew they were wonderful and brought them back and talked about it, named a place after them and saw the grapes and couldn't wait to show them the grapes. But by seeing the grapes, it didn't cause them to see God's greatness. And instead of seeing God's provisions in the grapes and in the fruit of the land, they saw the giants and they saw the problems and they saw the obstacles, and it caused them to not have faith that they should have had. Faith is going to be necessary when obstacles are seen. Don't take the grapes for granted. they're put there for a reason. You know what I believe the greats were there for? So that when they saw the obstacles, they had faith that God could see them through those obstacles. The grapes were there. They saw them first, and they were there, and they saw these grapes, and they're carrying these grapes around. And as these two men were carrying the grapes around, they were supposed to say, look at the land, look at the giants. And someone was supposed to say, no, let's look at the grapes. And someone said, well, look at those walls. And someone would say, no, look at the grapes. Someone would say, look at the might of those men. And somebody would say, no, let's look at the grapes. The grapes were there to be a reminder that we can trust God through every obstacle. The grapes were there to be a reminder that God said the land is ours and it's ours. The grapes are there so that we, when we see the obstacles and we see the discouragement and we see the things in our life that we think that they're going to destroy us and keep us down, the blessings are there. The grapes were there so that the people would not put their eyes on the obstacles and lose faith, but the grapes were there so the people would see the blessings of God and have faith that God was more powerful than any enemy. We can't take our eyes off of these blessings. You know, those grapes weren't put there by accident. Those grapes were put there by the hand of God. Those grapes didn't grow as large as they did because of man. They grew by the hand of God. Those grapes weren't there just to feed the men. The grapes were there so that when the men were discouraged by what they see, they would have the blessings and say that God can see us through. Moses says, be of good courage. Bring back this fruit. You know, many times we trust God until it gets hard. Many a times we have faith that God can do it until it gets difficult. Many times that we praise God when things are wonderful, but as soon as things start getting difficult, our faith can waver. At times, you know, I remember today's a special day. It's Valentine's Day, right? Right, men? Right. And it causes me to think about when I was first dating my wife. Those were such joyful times. And they still are. I mean, don't get me wrong. Things are still great. But I just remember different things as I kind of thought about her today and thought about different things and when I first met. And I was walked into a church, sat in the back row. And my wife turned around. She wasn't my wife. She was just Michelle at the time, Michelle Moak. She turned around, and I said to myself, I am going to marry that girl. She doesn't believe that, but I married her, so it's true. I remember everything about her when we were dating. I remembered the things that we would do together. I remember the talking. And how many of you remember on the phone real late and having to work the next day or go to school the next day and saying to yourself, what did I do this for? And only to do it again the next night. You know, remember talking about marriage and remember talking about all those things. You know, and we were talking about when we were first in love and talking about getting married, we did not realize there would ever be a difficulty. We knew other people, when they got married, were going to have difficulties, but not us. It was going to be different. We were in love. You know what we found? Life has difficulties. We found that, you know, things get tough, and at times there's problems, and at times there's difficulty. But you know what? You know what? We've also found this, that we can trust God through everything. Trust God through it all. When we first had Jacob, I remember when he came early and we were concerned and the doctors took him right away and didn't let us see him for a few hours. That was difficult. You know, we had to do during those times, we had to trust God. We had to trust him. I remember when we first got married, my wife remembers this often. There were times that it just seemed like we were just trying to make ends meet. And after we had Jacob, boy, it even put a little bit more strain on us financially. And she was working, and so she stopped working, and so we were living on one income for when Jacob was first born, and it was difficult. And I remember we'd look in the paper, and if baby food was on sale, we'd go get a whole cart full of it. I remember walking through the store, and I mean literally, they must have thought we were eating baby food. She'd say, it's on sale. We better stock up on it. And we'd get it, and she'd go through the paper, and she'd say, boy, this is on sale, and that's on sale. We need to get it now because next week it's going to cost more, and we don't know if we're going to have it. I remember wondering, are we going to make it to the next paycheck? Anybody ever remember that? Some say, we're still there. What do you mean, remember? That was last week. But you know what I find? That God has been faithful all the way through. You know, many times we see God's blessings until the night gets dark. Well, when it's sunshine and daylight, God's blessing. But you know what you're going to find, Christian? There's always going to be darkness. And you know what we need to learn? That God is faithful and God supplies even when it gets dark. He's not faithful just when everything's going our way. He's not faithful when everything seems the way we want it to be. He's not just faithful when it's light out. He's faithful in the dark times. He's faithful when things get difficult. He's faithful when life doesn't make sense. He's faithful when it seems like ends don't meet. He's faithful when it seems like the enemy is greater and is stronger. You know what he wanted the men to see? He wanted the men to see the land. But he didn't want them to be focused on the problems of the land. He wanted them to be focused on the blessings that he was going to give. You see, the time was a specific time. It was time of the first ripe grapes. It was a time for the people to see God's provisions, not the obstacles. Secondly, I want you to see this, that faith should allow us to depend on the hand of God. Faith always allows us to depend on the hand of God. It was a time to see God's hand of blessing and supply, not a time to see the giants and the size of the enemy. Faith should always allow us to depend upon God's hand. It's going to be a time in our life, in our family's life, and in our church life that it's going to be difficult to see because of obstacles. It's going to be difficult to see because of problems. It's going to be difficult to see because it might be dark. But we need to realize this, that faith allows us to depend upon the hand of God. Christian, tonight, are there obstacles? Of course there are. Are there problems? Of course there are. Are you going to find difficulties and obstacles in life? Of course you are. And Moses knew that in sending these men in, and that's why he said to these men, be of good courage and bring of the fruit of the land. You know, for some, your problems are large. I think of families like the Disip family that's dealing with their cancer with their son, only to find the daughter has cancer as well. I've got word this week by others that have been sick and others that are having problems and others that are having obstacles in their life and in praying for those and in praying for a family back in Columbus, the family where the wife was sick and seemed like she was recovering. And I get a phone call where this fella just in tears saying the sickness came back and it's difficult and hard. You know, the problems are large. But Moses says to the people, when you see the big problems, be of good courage and bring back the fruit of the land. If God can control seasons, if God can make grapes grow, if God can tell it to be harvest time, if all nature listens to God, is on God's time clock, then there is nothing too hard for him. It wasn't an accident that these men went at that exact season, that exact time. It wasn't an accident that they went out on that exact purpose and that exact season to see these grapes. It wasn't on accident. It was by the hand of God. It was on the will of God. It was by God's supply because they wanted them to see that His provisions are great. Is it going to be difficult? Is it going to be hard? Is it going to be a level of faith? Yes, but God is going to supply through it all. You know, sometimes I think this, we ought to gather those blessings and let those blessings be a reminder and hold on to those blessings so that when the difficult times come, when the problems come, we don't start questioning God. We don't start questioning His plan. We don't start questioning His will. We don't start questioning what we can do and what He's doing. We simply look at the fruit. We simply look at those blessings and we say this, that this is a constant reminder of who God is. This is a constant reminder that God is in control. This this is a constant reminder that he has sent us here. This is a constant reminder that he can supply every need that we'll ever have in our life. These grapes. As I'm reading through, I wonder, why would he put grapes right here in the middle of this chapter? I believe he put them there so that we could trust him. Why would he put grapes? Why would he say that the grapes were going to be in season? Why did he say the grapes were going to be large? Why did Moses say, bring back the grapes? Because he wanted us to keep our eyes on the blessings and the provisions of God and not get sidetracked by the obstacles of life. Number three, faith should keep us courageous in the work of God. What happened here in chapter number 13? The people lost courage. The sad thing of Numbers chapter 13 is the people lost courage. And faith ought to keep us courageous in God's work. You see, why they lose courage? Because they got their eyes off of the blessings. They got their eyes off the provisions. And they started to look at themselves and see, look at these obstacles. I can't destroy these giants. We can't conquer these walls. This land, it is a good land. This land is a healthy land. This land is flowing with milk and honey. But look at the obstacles. And I want you to simply understand this, that God has a plan and God has a will. And God, His plan and His will is going to cause us by faith to stay courageous and do what he desires to be done. This courage is not in ourself, but this courage is in the Lord. You see, the people began to fear. And the people began to fear because they lost courage. Moses prepared them. See, God prepared Moses and said, Moses, I want you to pick out 12 men of leadership, and I want them to go spy the land which is already theirs. He prepared Moses. He said, Moses, it's yours. Just send the men. Moses prepared the men. The men came back. The men came together. And Moses said this, I want you to go spy the land. And I want you to be of good courage. And bring back this fruit. Because the land is ours. Now it was the job of the people to come back and say to the spies to come back and say to the people, let's be of good courage. Yes, there's giants. And yes, we've seen the land. And yes, there's obstacles. And yes, there's darkness. And yes, there's problems. But we can have courage because we can trust in God. And that's where they failed. They lost courage. And they begin to discuss among themselves the problems instead of the blessings. They lost courage, and instead of saying how good God is, they begin to say how big the enemy is. Instead of keeping faith and saying our faith is in God and our hope is in Him and we're going to stay courageous in the work of God, instead of staying strong, they lost courage. And Moses challenged them, be of good courage. You know what he was saying? Fight the good fight and enjoy God's blessings along the way. Don't get your eyes on the negative. Don't get your eyes on the difficult. Don't get your eyes on the hard. Don't get your eyes on the impossible. Keep your eyes on the fruit of God's provisions. You know, I believe it's a good thing every once in a while, church, for us to remember that God does have a plan, that God does have a way, and God does have a will for our lives, and we need to stay focused on what He has. It seems like every day we see the condition of this world, and it gets to be more of a scary place every day. Every day in our life, you know, if it's raising children, it seems like life gets difficult. The honest truth is there's days that I worry about the future for my children's sake. The truth is there's four men out there that one day are going to marry my four children, my four girls, and the reality is this, I don't know if I like that. There's one young lady right out there tonight that one day is going to marry my son. And for her sake, I don't know if I like that. Because I know the world, the condition they're going to raise their children in. You know, they say it's harder and harder to see a church grow. It's harder and harder to see people saved. It's harder and harder to live a life glorifying the Lord. It's harder and harder to be a Christian. And in matter of fact, I think in America, at times it is harder and harder. Isn't it an amazing thing that one of the issues that we find in this campaign is that we're trying to hold on to freedoms and religious liberties that we are supposed to be free to worship here in this country? And for some reason, that's becoming an issue. If we're not careful, we can look and be fearful. Is the supply going to be there? Is my job going to be there? Are my resources going to be there? Are the positive things of life that I need to have a victorious life, are they going to be there in life? Are those positive things going to be there? Am I going to have great success? Am I going to be able to feed my family? Am I going to be able to pay the bills? And all of these things can continue to compound. And if we get our eyes on the things, the difficult things, we take our eyes off the fruit, we'll lose our courage. I was talking to Slim yesterday. We were here and having some games, and then over at the Blue Room, all the Awana kids were racing the cars that their dads built. having a good day. We got talking about some things, and he had a wrench he was going to fix an old toilet, he said. We got talking about our facilities, and he was rehearsing once again. I've heard it so many times over the last 5 months. He was saying, this year, this God let us build this, and it was this year that God allowed us to build this, and it was this year that this happened, and he was kind of rehearsing the history of the church, and what a wonderful, wonderful thing it was. And I think of men like him when it snows. There's only one person in this room that thinks about the church when it snows. It's him. All of us just come to a parking lot that's plowed. And there's so many things that people have done and people are doing and God is using in a great way to build his church. And I believe this, that God has even wonderful and greater things for his church in the future, because people still need to be saved and people still need to be baptized and people still need to be discipled. This past Thursday, I walked into a restaurant with Pastor Mayer and we were talking through some things, and I walked in a restaurant and there was a man that got saved not too long ago in our church going through a discipleship program. He said to me, I got through salvation. Wonderful, praise the Lord. Assurance. What's next? Baptism. Excited to be baptized. You know, there's still more people that need to be reached. We can't lose courage, church. There are people that are still dying and spending eternity in hell. We can't lose courage. There's still families. Dad needs to be saved, and by dad being saved, he'd put down that addiction and be the godly husband that that family needs. We can't lose courage. There's young children that are growing up in a home. There's not a sense of godliness, but if the gospel was given to those parents, their lives would be transformed and changed, and those young children would grow up in a home that knew Jesus Christ. We can't lose courage. We need to keep our eyes on those fruits. We need to keep our eyes on the blessings. We need to keep our eyes on the provisions and not lose courage. Faith should keep us courageous in the work of God. I think this, as long as people need Jesus, we ought to stay in the fight for the cause of Christ. As long as people need the gospel, we ought to stay courageous. I'm through with this. I've been looking and just thinking about the upcoming events in our church. And the reality is this can be a busy place, can't it be? My wife and I have said often, boy, if we just get through basketball season, we're going to be able to breathe. The reality is this, I don't know if we're going to be able to breathe. I think we're just going to catch our breath. It seems like there's always something. Monday nights, there's a group of people that can come and find strength. and find encouragement from God's Word that has lost someone that they love through grief share. Tuesday night, those that are battling with addiction and battling with weight and battling with things within their body can come and find hope through God's Word to live a victorious life through God for God. At the same time, there's a Bible study of some men that get together that just want to grow closer and stronger in the Word of God. All men, Bible study. Wednesday night, we gather together and we open God's Word and we pray together and we preach and the children are being ministered to and children are being taken into classrooms and through the Awana program, there's teachers that are committed to helping and caring for our children and there's nursery workers that are caring for our children and there's a youth ministry that's causing and desiring for our children and teaching our children to get into the Word of God daily and have a walk with God. And that's only half the week. Friday night, there's a group of people that come together that reach out into our community that say there's addictions. We want to help you and give you help through the Word of God. There's people that are teaching and preaching in nursing homes throughout the week. On Wednesday night, there's men that go to a halfway house and have a Bible study. On Sunday afternoons, there's a jail ministry where people are taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are just beaten down and battled with sin, and they're bringing hope and bringing the gospel. On Sunday, there's teachers that are teaching and children's church workers that are working with their children. And there's nursery workers and there's toddlers and there's youth workers and there's adult Sunday school classes. And there's so much that takes place. Let's not lose courage because none of those things are in vain. And every one of those are opportunities for us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and share it with a world that needs Him. As we sit today, probably one of the most sobering things that I think of every Sunday evening as we come together and worship the Lord, there are people that have slipped out into eternity without Christ. In church, we have got to take what we have and reach a world that needs the gospel. I don't believe this community can afford for this church to lose courage. I don't think those three that were saved this afternoon in the jail can afford for this church to lose courage. I don't think that one that was saved the last session of Grief Share could afford for this community to lose courage. I don't think those that are finding help, I don't think that those three young girls that were saved in school this past couple weeks could afford for this church to lose courage. If we keep our eyes and get our eyes on the obstacles, if we get our eyes on the walls, we get our eyes on the land, we get our eyes on the enemy, it's very easy to lose courage. But we've got to keep our eyes, be of good courage, and bring back the fruit. Keep our eyes on God's provisions. Keep our eyes on God's blessings. Let's keep our eyes on Him.